Our boy Gary Chapman Jr. went off last night.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we're ready to get after it. Gary Chapman Jr. went crazy last night in his team season opener. We're going to break that down and talk about a lot of things around that particular game and his recruitment in general. We're going to talk about what to watch for in the scrimmage, give you my thoughts on the big things that I'm looking forward to hearing about today. And then we're going to give our Jack Arse of the Week away. May have two awards to give away this week. I want to jump right in, though, man, because, you know, Auburn added Gary Chapman Jr. as their 2028 quarterback. Remember the whole story about, 2027 quarterback going after Will Mensel. You didn't get him. You pivoted. You turn around and you get Gary Chapman Jr. to flip from Wake Forest. You go and you look, and, you know, the stats from last year just don't super-duper blow you away. But the film, you can see there's some talent there. There's some tools definitely to work with. And then the viral video over the summer of him working, I believe it was with QB Country potentially, is the coaching crew that he's working with. And – you know, the quick release, the being able to rip it down the field, a lot of eyes, a lot of buzz just started around him. And last night they kicked off, Brookwood High School kicked off their season in the Corky Kale Dave Hunter Classic. That's a mouthful. Basically the biggest, season opener series. I think they do it for multiple classifications. And they get to play it in the Mercedes-Benz. It'd be like, a lot of these state championships play on like bigger college stadiums or bigger stadiums, but this is the opener to the season, getting to play in it, and always have some classic games. And this one was not particularly a classic game because Gary Chapman Jr. just went off. Only played a half because he just absolutely shredded. I believe it was Cambridge High School is who they were playing. Absolutely shredded them. He went 8 of 13 in the first half for 162 yards and two touchdowns. And the two touchdown passes were really, really pretty. You have one where he just rips one up the seam. You have one where it's a little bit more of a touch pass towards the corner of an end zone. Another couple of balls that he rips up the seam, like, everything you saw in those summer videos, those summer workout videos, you can see he's put the work in. Like, you can see that, like, those things were starting to translate. He also added, 50 yards on five carries on the ground, and he had two rushing touchdowns. So he scored four touchdowns and a half. I'm sorry, one rushing touchdown. He scored three touchdowns and a half, over 200 total yards in just working to getting two quarters of work, because he just was unstoppable. That's exactly what you want to see out of a guy like this. And when I say a guy like this, what I'm talking about is, you know, a guy flying a little bit under the radar. And we've talked all summer about how people get rankings. How do rankings go up and down? And it's really all about when you're hot and who you're hot in front of. And this could not have been a better stage for him to just shred it. Because when it's in these big locations like this, all the recruiting experts and analysts, all the eyes and everybody kind of converge on this stadium because it's multiple games over a short period of time. So they get to see a ton of players hands-on and in person. Yeah, Chad Simmons there last night that I noticed tweeting about him. You know, one of the lead recruiting analysts, national recruiting analysts for Rivals. That's the kind of things when you go off like that in front of these guys, that's how your stock can go up and down on the recruiting trail. If you put a ton of value on star rankings, that was really what you wanted to see. That was really what needed to happen for his stock to continue to rise. The more that I see from Gary Chapman Jr., the more that I think that there's potential there. I don't think it's necessarily just a filler. You know what I mean when I say a filler? Like, you just got to take a quarterback. Like, you miss. We got to take a quarterback. So let's just get somebody and you know, whatever. If whatever happens, happens. It doesn't necessarily feel like that the more you watch Gary Chapman develop. Like, it looks like this kid could be a legitimate player in time. Like, he's got some size. He's got some size hurdles that he's always going to have to deal with. He's always going to have to overcome. And he's probably going to have to out-athlete a lot of folks because of that size. He's probably not going to just be able to be a traditional sit back in the pocket, you know, and read a defense. The film says, or his stats say, he's 6 foot. His measurables say he's 6 foot. Maybe. Maybe. I don't think he's like 5'8 or anything like that, but he's just not your prototypical, you know, 6'3 plus 210 pound plus quarterback. He's going to be a smaller guy, but I think the arm strength is there. The accuracy is getting there. And then the athleticism is off the charts. The ability to pull it down and explode. And he's climbing up the pocket too. That's what I really like. Like, when you see guys in college, when they drop back and they just retreat right or just retreat left, and they're so athletic and so much more athletic than everybody on the field, it's easy. Well, those things aren't easy in college. We've seen that. We've seen what happens when quarterbacks just retreat right and left. They have issues. When it's what's so deadly is when they can drop back, and as they're climbing up the pocket, then they take off up the middle, and there's just nothing but space. That to me tells me two things. Number one, he's comfortable in the pocket, which anybody in high school that you can find that's comfortable in the pocket, that's really like an uncoachable thing. That's just sort of like a natural instinct. It's hard to coach somebody out of being nervous in the pocket or being fleet of feet whenever there's a little bit of pressure. So him climbing up the pocket, that's, hey, I'm comfortable. And then I can see, boom, there's green grass right there, and I can go. It's tough, man. It's tough. Those are some uncoachable. Where he has some deficiencies that are uncoachable from a size standpoint, he also has those intangibles that are not really coachable that I think can make him a really good quarterback. So that's exactly what we need to see on the daggum Friday. We got high school football kicking off. We got our quarterback making it rain, scoring points on the ground, through the air, shredding defenses, and you hope he just kind of continues that. And I think if he keeps putting some of these games together, that ranking will go up. It'd be impossible not to. Probably, again, if he keeps going, he could get invited to some all-star games. And then you're talking even more eyes on him. Just really, really good stuff to kick off a Friday. We got a scrimmage today. We're going to talk about what to watch for, and then we're going to give away our Jack Arse of the Week award. But before we jump into that, we're going to beat the heat. Go to Precision Tune Auto Care in Opelika at the corner of Pepperell and Veterans Parkways, where two parkways collide, and get that AC checked out, my guy. Make sure that it's running in tip-top shape. Free AC performance evaluation, free system pressure test, free vent temperature analysis, all the things you need to have tested to make sure you're running not hot. I was going to say running hot. You want to be running cold right now because it is scorching outside. And then if you have any repairs, they take $50 off anything over $300. You also can drop your car off between or vehicle between 7 and 9 and get a $50 oil change, best deal in town. Show them some love. It's Precision Tune Auto Care. And then buyauburn.com. You need to train your brain. Hey, if I'm going to shop, if I'm going to need a service, if I need anything, I want to start at buyauburn.com. We added a couple of restaurants. They're locally to Auburn, but we want to add restaurants from everywhere. We want to add services all over the country so that when you want to go patron a business, you start with Auburn people. And buyauburn.com is the only place you can go to where you can guarantee that you're going to start with an Auburn person. Show us some love. It's buyauburn.com. We'll be back right after this. Let's talk scrimmage. Today's the first scrimmage. It'll be this morning. Should conclude right around lunchtime. There'll be a press conference with Alex Golish in the stadium, media room after the fact. So I guess it's going to be in Jordan-Hare Stadium. And I know everybody's going to be wondering, you know, what or like on pins and needles waiting to hear, you know, exactly what happens at the scrimmage. And I'm going to be honest, and I'm not even really joking when I say this. And I think it's because I'm so confident in the defense that I don't really care what comes out of practice, you know, barring like a bunch of injuries. But I want some offensive fireworks. I don't know how you can really have a super balanced scrimmage and like the offense do well and score points. Like, I don't know how it can be balanced because, you know, what if I make a big, have a big play and then I have a sack on the next play and then I have a big play and then I potentially have an interception, like that doesn't equal points on the board. So no matter what happens, if it could be the most equal, literally success offense, success defense on alternate plays, it's still going to look bad on the offense. I wouldn't care if it was just the offense torched the defense, because I know DJ Durkin is going to use that for fuel, and the offense got a taste of it on Wednesday with that big touchdown play and that very, very short 11-on-11 period. You know, obviously Byram connecting with Jeremiah Koger for that deep, beautiful touchdown pass. They got a taste of it. I know they're going to want to go get some more. We need that narrative. We need that. We need to hear that. We need to hear that the offense is winning. As an Auburn fan, that would soothe the soul, I think, when it's been absolute putrid offensive outputs year after year after year. I think everybody would sleep well tonight if the headline tomorrow is Byron Brown torches the defense in Auburn's first fall scrimmage. I think that would be – I think everybody would celebrate. There's going to be some that'll be like, oh, man, our defense stinks and, you know, whatever. I don't think there's going to be any issue with the defense. And I have no problem. I have no doubt that they'll be able to correct anything that were to happen negatively after the scrimmage today. I want to see everybody be healthy. I do want to see some offensive fireworks. I want to see if, you know, Stanton Ramil is out there and he's healthy. I know he got a little bit dinged up on, I guess, Wednesday. Want to see if you hear much about potentially some position battles at corner. I think that number two corner is maybe still up for grabs. What that safety and nickel rotation looks like, maybe some of the interior defensive line. Does Cody Sigler go, or do they kind of hold him out just as a precaution? All the things that we've been taking notes of while being at practice, but definitely want to see some offensive fireworks. Let me know what y'all think. Am I crazy? Like, come on, Kyle. Let's just have a safe scrimmage, a little bit of balance, and we're good. No, I want bombs. high, nasty bombs just up and down the field. That's what I want to see. And then I want to hear about Omar and Jeremiah Cobb ripping off some big games too. Whoever, honestly, insert name, rip off a big run, I'm in. Give it to me. Y'all know how I love offense. I love points. Let's go to Jack Arse of the Week. I was the Jack Arse of the Week last week because I completely forgot to give the award. So I'm after the fact giving myself the award last week for Jack Arse of the Week. Got two this week, and I'm going to try to go quickly, but the first one is easy. It's Jalen Daniels and the whole cease and desist over the number. Should it have been retired? Should it have not been retired? The number five at LSU. Apparently, Lane Kiffin promised the number five to an incoming, I think a guy from the portal, or no, an incoming freshman, like a five-star guy, I think. And Jaden Daniels didn't like that. Jaden Daniels didn't like that. He said, hey, y'all retired Joe Burrow's number after he won the Heisman. Let's not forget about the fact that they went undefeated and won a national championship. But you didn't do mine. So you know what? You can't even put my name on a poster. You can't put my name on anything. You're no longer allowed to use my name, image, and likeness. It's not even in the video game right now. Apparently, it's pulled the number five off of the video game, is what I saw floating around on, you know, social media last night. Y'all know how I feel about retiring numbers anyway. I don't like it. I've never liked the idea of retiring numbers. I think it's silly. It's like the Yankees have like a billion numbers retired. I just think that's the dumbest thing, the dumbest thing ever. Like college football, I know that I preach that college sports are dead, but like any bit of nostalgia of like, man, I get to wear, you know, I might get awarded the chance to wear Bo Jackson's number or Cam Newton's number. And you can do it where you just don't willy-nilly give them away to anybody. But Jaden, man, y'all didn't even win anything. You didn't even win anything. I think you won the West. Do we just retire numbers now just because of awards? I've never seen anything like this. Like now like you're toast at LSU. You may not care, but like you're not going to play football forever. And maybe you'll make so much money while you're playing that it won't, be a big deal. But like a lot of times, those guys, there's cushy jobs that come with, you know, being tied to a university. You retire your number for, you know, opting out of the ReliaQuest Bowl. That's what we should retire your number over. We should give you the retire your number because you beat Purdue in the Citrus Bowl. Come on, man. Some of the associated five jokes on social media were hilarious. I put out there, I'm nervous. You know, I'm C5. I'm a little bit nervous that they could come after me. Just pretty sad. Pretty sad. And now you're done. You're just done at LSU. I just think that's just so stupid. Any safety net that you had is gone. Potential safety net, gone. And then I love this story. This is so awesome. If you don't care about golf, then just turn it off. Because this is so freaking hilarious. It's awful and hilarious at the same time. So it's not even professional golf. But the biggest, one of the most popular names in golf right now is Zach Holland. Look that up, and he didn't even spell Zach right. He's got an H on it, so it's Zach Holland. And Zach is just an amateur golfer. He's pretty solid. Played college golf, and he is famous right now for all the wrong reasons, because he decided that in his member golf tournament, he was going to stage a hole-in-one. And I know you're wondering, how do you stage a hole-in-one? Well, he knew that he was going to be the first group off He was within the first group that went off. So there's not going to be anybody else on the course. They're starting on hole number one. And apparently everybody had pitched in this money, okay, that if anybody hit a hole in one, everybody in the tournament pitched in some money. Whoever got a hole in one got the whole pot. And I think it was like $1,600. Like, it wasn't like it was a, you know, $50. It's a pretty big deal. So what he does is he warns everybody ahead of time, hey, my grandmother is in bad health. At some point in time, I could have to step away and take a phone call. So I'm just letting y'all know that ahead of time. So apparently the fourth hole is a par three. So when they're on hole three and they're about to finish out, I think he finishes out first and he's like, guys, I got to go take the phone call. I'm going to go up to the next tee box and, you know, hit my shot, take the phone call, and I'll wait on y'all to get there. So he goes up to the tee box, quote unquote, takes the call. And when they get up there, they ask him how, you know, where he hit the shot, how he hit the shot. He said, man, I couldn't see it. I'm on the green somewhere. So they all hit their shots, and then they walk up to the green, and there's a ball in the hole. And everybody goes crazy. Not only is there a ball in the hole, there's a pitch mark on the green as if the ball came in, hit the ground, and then rolled in to the hole. So they all go crazy. They celebrate. And I guess it was somewhat believable because he's like a scratch golfer. So he's a pretty good golfer in general. Well, they get back to the clubhouse. They start telling the story, and everybody's a little bit skeptical. So the superintendent is like, you know, I have a camera on the superintendent. I have a camera on my shed, and it's pretty close to the fourth hole. Let me go back and see if I can see anything. So I didn't see anything of whenever he hit the shot or quote-unquote hit the shot, but he did notice earlier that morning a car rolls in, and it's Zatch. It's Zatch. So Zatch came in early before that round. He goes in, creates a pitch mark on the ground with whatever, his club, his finger, something, makes a pitch mark on the ground and puts the ball in the hole before anybody gets to the golf course. So he had planned this thing out like crazy. It gets exposed on TikTok, and then it just goes viral. And then everybody's after this guy. He's got to delete his social media. He's calling in the radio shows, crying and apologizing. It's just a wild, wild story. And even funnier, if you guys have been following me for very long, right about the time that I joined on with Zach, I went and played in a golf tournament called the Barstool Classic. It was a qualifier in Atlanta at Chateau Alain. That's where the course was. And every time they do one of these events, they do a putting contest where everybody hits a putt, and you know, if you make it, you get qualified to go into the bigger event. Well, I won that particular putting contest, which is funny because I'm not particularly a great putter. Well, Zach wins the same type putting contest like 2 weeks prior at a Barstool Classic event. So he's riding high from this that big win. You're on Barstool's account that millions of people see, and then he goes from there to faking a hole in one and it getting exposed, and it just comes crashing down. It's wild. Hey, don't fake hole in ones. Don't cheat in golf. Don't cheat in anything. How about that? It's pretty simple. It's not that hard, and nobody will ever hate you. I hope y'all have a great weekend. We'll talk again really, really soon. Maybe we'll have a scrimmage update a little bit later. But if not, we'll see you on the Barncast on Sunday night. We're out of here. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely. We'll be right back.